Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Right now what we're doing is trying to take their leaders and their fighters off the battlefield in Iraq and in Syria. We're killing a lot of them, and we're going to keep killing more of them. So are the Egyptians, so are the Jordanians. They're in this fight with us. But we cannot win this war by killing them. We cannot kill our way out of this war. But if we can help countries work at the root causes of this, what makes these 17-year-old kids pick up an AK-47 instead of try to start a business? Maybe we can try and chip away at this problem.
This is the Obama administration's mentality. Chip away at them? Start a business instead of picking up an AK-47? Now look, I happen to know she's just a useless idiot whose mother got her the job with Obama, or her father got her the job with Obama. She's just another dummy who went to college, who came out brainwashed, who actually thinks that there is no such thing as Sharia law, doesn't understand the radical Muslims have been at war with the rest of the world. Ever since the religion began, they were told to go to war with everybody else. You morons, you! And now that their blitzkrieg is being shown for what it is, and the incompetence and cowardice of the West is displayed for all the world to see, you have the spokesgirl at the State Department, Marie Harf, saying we cannot kill our way out of this war. Well, they can certainly kill their way into this war. And she wants to pick up at the root causes of what makes 17-year-olds pick up an AK-47 instead of starting a business. Can you imagine a radical Islamic killer starting a business? Let me give you a little lesson, all of you moronic left-wing fools who don't know the world you live in. Let me explain to you what the world will be like when radical Islam takes over, because it's happened in certain countries. Let's start with the women. Women are not permitted to hold a job. Women are not permitted to go to school beyond the seventh grade where they can learn to read the Quran. Women cannot drive. Homosexuals are stoned to death or thrown off rooftops. Christians are beheaded. Members of religious minorities are burned alive. Imagine a world without radio, without television, without an internet, without movies, without newspapers, without books, except only one book. Shall I go on with my list? Would you like to hear about life under this idealized religion? How about being stoned to death for adultery? How about having your hand cut off for stealing a loaf of bread? How about killing apostates? How about second-class status for Christians or Jews if they're allowed to live at all? That is life under Sharia law, the Islamic system practiced in countries right now, such as Iran, Saudi Arabia, and even Great Britain. Yes, Great Britain. You may not know it, but the cowardly Brits have permitted 85 Sharia courts to operate in their own country. Did you hear this? Did you know that in these wonderful humanitarian courts run by Muslims, a woman's witness value is half that of a man? Did you know any of this? Did you know that women's rights are quite diminished under Sharia law? Did you actually think otherwise? Do you believe that Obama's telling you the truth? Let me tell you again, imagine a world where women are not permitted to drive or hold a job, where they're not permitted to go to school beyond the seventh grade, where homosexuals are stoned to death or thrown off roofs, where Christians and Jews are either beheaded, burned alive, or forced to live in a second-class life, or to pay a tax for the privilege of living amongst Muslims. And yet the State Department says we can't win. By killing them, we need to get them jobs. That's what they have to say to us. Now, you could say that the Obama administration is naive, they're academics. You're wrong. Oh, no, you're wrong. They're neither academics nor naive. I believe with all of my heart that it's something far more sinister than this. I believe that there's a war against common sense in the United States of America and the West itself, by liberal politicians who are either themselves idiotic, brainwashed, or in some way working for Sharia law in their own country. You heard me. You say, how could that happen here? It's impossible. We're a Christian nation. We're a pluralistic nation. We believe in freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of speech. Do you? Well, it's nice that you do, but they don't. Take a look at what's happened wherever the Taliban have conquered a region, whether it be in Afghanistan or elsewhere. Take a look at what women's rights are in Saudi Arabia, if you want to call them rights. Take a look at people who are stoned to death. Take a look at people whose hands are cut off. Take a look at people who are killed because they're apostates. This is life in your country where the lights go out forever. It would not be 1,000 years of darkness if we do not kill these barbarians in ISIS and their fellow travelers. It would not be 1,000 years of darkness. It would be darkness in the world forever, which is why we all must fight this evil scourge. I believe that it's much more sinister than you may believe. I believe that the Muslim Brotherhood has frankly deeply penetrated the White House. I don't know how far up it goes, but I don't have to go any further than to say this to you. Why would I say that I believe the Muslim Brotherhood is influencing the White House or has penetrated the White House? Well, let's look at what's happened. Hillary Clinton and the others introduced a theory called the Arab Spring, where they wanted to overthrow despotic leaders and replace them with democracy. And so they killed Gaddafi, they jailed Mubarak, and what happened? The countries descended into tribalism. And the only way the Egyptians had a road back from that hellhole run by the Muslim Brotherhood was when this brave man, the head of the military, kicked the Muslim Brotherhood out. Now, who tried to stop this brave general in Egypt from kicking the Muslim Brotherhood out of Egypt? Who tried to stop him? John McCain and Barack Obama. Barack Obama demanded that the Muslim Brotherhood be restored in Egypt. John McCain, the war criminal, he actually went to Cairo and demanded that the Muslim Brotherhood be restored to power in Egypt. But the Egyptians said drop dead to the United States, and they said drop dead to John McCain. We're not going to be ruled by 7th century barbarians. And that's the world under these Muslim Brotherhood individuals. Take a look at what they do when they conquer. So what does that have to do with America? Why do I allege that the Muslim Brotherhood may be influencing Barack Obama and his minions in the White House? Take a look at their rhetoric. Listen to what they say. They're trying to pass laws which will make it illegal to criticize Islam. Did you know that? Did you know that that's part of their war? Just as before World War II, the Germans, the Nazis rather, had what was known as the German-American Bund operating here in the United States of America. There is a Muslim Brotherhood American Bund operating here in America. I wouldn't say it's a Muslim American Bund, because not all Muslims are the Muslim Brotherhood. But I would say it's a Muslim Brotherhood Bund running here in America, and they have front groups. So if anyone speaks out against the head cutting, or the burning alive of people, or the killing of Jews, they're attacked as racists by the Muslim Brotherhood Bund in the media and in the government. How far up does this Muslim this Bund run? Does it run all the way into the White House? Some would argue yes. Some have been saying, Obama, how dare you not speak out against the beheadings? Why do you call it just some folks in a deli and not say Jews? Why are you always so sensitive to Muslims and so insensitive to Christians and Jews? Are you naive, Mr. Obama? No, he's not naive. He's president. He didn't get there by being naive. He didn't get there by being stupid. The golf is a front. The playing at the games is a front, and the golf is a front of like Mr. Doofus. He knows what he's doing, some would say. What would you say? I don't want you to call me on that, because it doesn't matter what you think or what I think. They are at war with us, and if they are permitted to win, if these children who work for Obama are permitted to spew their stupidity, saying that we got to get them jobs in order to stop them, we will not have 1,000 years of darkness. We will have a perennial darkness. Try to imagine a world where there are no radios, no televisions, no internet, no movies, no newspapers, no books except one book, as though we're living in the 7th century. Can you imagine a world where homosexuals are thrown off rooftops or killed in front of a crowd? who, if the gay doesn't die, they stone him to death. It happened in Iraq 3 weeks ago. There are pictures of it on the internet that the media will not show you. Can you imagine a world where women are not permitted to drive or hold a job or go to school beyond grammar school? That's some of what will come to this country unless we fight with everything in us to make certain that the quislings in this government are shown for who they are and that a real government is put in place to save us from these madmen. You may not know this, but jihad is on the march. And jihad is here in America. Now, what is jihad? Obama said jihad is not war. No, but jihad is defined as a war against non-Muslims to establish the religion. That's what jihad really is. And yet the propagandists have been telling us that that's not really what jihad is. They're a liar. It is war. There's a lot more that you need to learn about stoning, beheading, amputation of limbs, flogging, and things such as that nature. You need to learn more about slavery. You need to learn more about what it's really like to live under the jihadists before you open your pie hole and start telling the world that it's like every other place on earth. And that the only reason they're acting like this is because of George Bush's foreign policy. They have been at war with the West for 1,000 years. And if we lose this war, we will have darkness forever. The headline right now on the top of the Drudge Report is quite telling. Italy fears ISIS invasion. I jokingly said yesterday there is no Italian military. Well, guess what? There is no Italian military. And now, as ISIS makes inroads into Libya, officials in Rome are panicking about an IS statement where they said we're just across the sea and the next stop is Rome. And what do they have to fight these barbarians? Italy has only 5,000 troops available that are deployable. Did you hear this? Did you know that the socialists in Italy cut the military budget by 40% 2 years ago? Did you know that there is fundamentally no military in Italy? And frankly, the men, as I said to you yesterday, not so jokingly, are busily looking at themselves in mirrors to see how good they look in tight jeans. Libya, remember, is only 109 miles away from the island of Lampedusa. And Libya is only 300 miles from Sicily. But you want to hear something even worse? Pro-immigration liberals and socialists in Italy are forcing the Italian Navy to pick up immigrants who are fleeing these Muslim hellholes and bringing them not back to Libya, but into Italy. How hard would it be for some of these men to overtake an Italian Navy ship and land on one of the Italian territorial possessions? That is the dangerous fear that is going on now in Italy. Meanwhile, in America, Obama's open borders policies were today halted for a moment by a single judge who said no to amnesty. He has passed a temporary restraining order that has put the pro-amnesty scum on alert. Gutierrez, the serpent, has said we don't care what the judge said, we will not be deterred. Yes, my friends, we are fighting for the survival of America and freedom itself. And this program, The Savage Nation, is one of your last beacons of truth. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. This just into the Savage Nation. The world gets darker by the moment as the barbarians continue their scourge across the planet. ISIS burned 45 people to death in the captured Iraqi town of al-Baghdadi as Islamists attacked the homes of security forces families. DailyMail.com. 45 human beings set on fire in a western Iraqi town. Now pay close attention, all of you fools. There are 320 U.S. Marines stationed just 5 miles away at the Ain al-Assad Air Base. And Barack Obama has not yet launched airstrikes against these ISIS members to stop them from ensnaring our Marines. What are you going to do if you wake up and you see our Marines slaughtered, put in cages, set on fire, dragged through the streets, dismembered and beheaded? What are you going to do, go about your daily business and say, oh, my God, that's terrible. But he's a good man. He's doing the best he can. And we can't really antagonize them by saying anything bad against Islam, because they're not really Muslims. They're something else. We don't know what they are, but we know they're not Muslims. We were told they're not Muslims. We were told that anyone who says that they are Muslims is a racist and should be arrested and sent to The Hague. No, but we really like the Marines better, but, you know, it's really not our business. We shouldn't have been there. I mean, if the Marines had stayed home, they wouldn't have been captured. And if they wouldn't have been captured, they wouldn't have been set alive. I mean, that's the American way, is not meddling in foreign affairs. Unless it is to cause Russia to go to war with us or something like that. I don't follow it all. It's too much for me. You know, leave me alone. Now, ask yourself what's going on in the world and how did this happen so quickly? How did it happen so quickly that this so-called ISIS, which came out of nowhere, is suddenly able to perform a blitzkrieg? And they seem to be unstoppable. Are they really unstoppable? If we could stop a German panzer division, how could we not stop ISIS? If the United States can stop the German military, or could stop the German military, if the United States could beat the North Koreans and the Chinese in Korea in many battles, if the United States military could defeat the North Vietnamese, which they did, by the way, in almost every engagement in Vietnam, how is it that the United States military, under this commander in grief, has not been able to stop the barbarians known as ISIS? You'd have to say, A, he's not prosecuting the war thoroughly, or B, well, let's not go to B. You don't want to go to B. You just don't want to go to B. Because if you go to B, then you realize that it's far worse than you think. So why don't you go along with what the State Department spokesgirl said, that we need to get them jobs, and that if only they learned how to flip camel burgers and put on a little hat in a burger stand, a camel burger stand in Iraq, why then they'd stop beheading Christians and burning Yazidis alive.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Right now what we're doing is trying to take their leaders and their fighters off the battlefield in Iraq and in Syria. We're killing a lot of them, and we're going to keep killing more of them. So are the Egyptians, so are the Jordanians. They're in this fight with us. But we cannot win this war by killing them. We cannot kill our way out of this war. But if we can help countries work at the root causes of this, what makes these 17-year-old kids pick up an AK-47 instead of try to start a business? Maybe we can try and chip away at this problem.
Now, is that really the voice of the Obama administration? They need jobs. Meanwhile, Doofus spent the weekend playing golf in Palm Springs, California, courtesy of you, the moronic taxpayer, who should have demanded impeachment a long time ago. This man is the most dangerous, insulting president in American history. Goes and golfs while Christians' heads are cut off. Now, ask yourself a question, fools. Ask yourself a question, fools. How come Obama or his spokesmouth, the war criminal Josh Ernst, or this idiot who works for the State Department, does not use the word Muslim in any of their statements? How come they do not talk about Christians having their heads cut off, when the video showing their heads being cut off was entitled "A Message Signed with Blood to the Nation of the Cross," as they slaughtered the Christians? How come there's no mention of the word Christians? Let me ask you another question. How come Ernest, Josh Ernest, the war criminal, in my opinion, has studiously avoided any mention of radical Islam or its animosity toward Christians and Jews? Is this not a war crime, since they're at war with us and Josh Ernest is basically covering for our enemy? How come a senior administration official said yesterday, during a conference call with stenographers called reporters, "We are not treating these people as part of a religion. We're treating them as terrorists. We call them our enemies and we'll be treating them as such." How come world leaders outside of Washington, where it seems to me the Muslim Brotherhood dictates to this president and his moronic children, the spokesmouths, what they should and should not say? How come outside of Washington, world leaders are connecting ISIS, which pits Islamists against the world's other great religions? How come? Why outside of Washington, all world leaders connect ISIS, the self-described Islamic State of Iraq and al-Sham, as a religious battle which pits Islamists against the world's other great religions, but these war criminals inside the White House refuse to tell us that? Well, we know that the Pope himself, who was a very modest man, said the 21 Coptics were killed simply for the fact that they were Christians. He said that at the Vatican, speaking in his native Spanish. And yet President Obama still refuses to call ISIS attacks Islamist terror. Why does he do that? Why is it that British PM David Cameron said he was appalled by the murder of Christians in Libya? And why is it that Obama and his little children, like Marie Harf and that other one, Josh Ernst, refused to use the word Islamist? Why is that? Can anyone figure that out? The fact of the matter is, most Americans, in even the most moderate polls, show that Americans are terrified that the government is not doing the proper job. Now, as far as this fool, Marie Harf, saying that they need jobs, this is a standard left-wing argument against criminality. They've argued about this with regard to our prisoners here in the United States of America, that none of them are really guilty, that if only the United States of America had given them more opportunity, they wouldn't have committed the rape, the murder, the crime, whatever it is that they got them in jail. The root cause is never evil, but the need for social overhaul. At what point do we demand a state of emergency, an impeachment is declared immediately, and a new government is formed? Tell me when. Tell me when. What has to happen? Well, I'm afraid to tell you that it's going to happen. Now, I have no real inside information, but I will tell you this. Just as a talk show host, after all, we're just... You see, we're not important people. We're not the important people at CNN or MSNBC. We in talk radio, although we may have PhDs and master's degrees and have written many books, we're none people. We don't exist. The only people who exist are the government spokesmouths on CNN and MSNBC, ABC, CBS, and NBC. We don't exist at all in talk radio. We're just clowns. We're just shock jocks, despite our education, despite our knowledge, despite our insights, despite our rationality, despite our knowledge of history. We don't know very much. We have to turn to the important people like Brian Williams, whatever his name. I still can't remember his name. It's Williams, isn't it? After all, he told you the truth. He told you the truth, didn't he? Well, in my own way, I try to arrive at the truth. But ask yourself why the president refuses to connect it with radical Islam. Ask yourself who is running the country. Ask yourself if the Muslim Brotherhood is not dictating what can and cannot be said through their front groups here in the United States of America, because I know it happens to be true. I know it happens to be true. I know it happens to be what's going on. And I'll give you another little fact that may or may not turn out to be true, and I hope I'm wrong. I pray to God this was just a crackpot right-wing email. Last night at midnight, I received an email from somebody I never met. It was sent through a third party. It was from a former military officer at the highest level of the U.S. military who has been studying Islam for 10 years or more. And he said certain things in the email that I'm afraid to repeat on this show because I can't verify them. But one thing he did say is that the 28th of this month is a day that's been declared a day of blood around the globe by the jihadists themselves. And he said there's going to be blood in the streets around the world. He said some other things which I'm not going to repeat right now because it will only panic people and it will have them say, well, I'm this, I'm that, Savage is this, he has no way to prove it, blah, blah, blah. I've heard it all before. Just be forewarned. The fact of the matter is these people are following a playbook that goes back 1,000 years. Their goal is to dominate the entire world or bring an end to it. I really don't think they want to flip camel burgers in Baghdad. Let's take some callers on the Savage Nation. Line number one, WMAL, I think. I see a station for some reason. Line number one, tell us your station, please.
WMAL, this is Gito Benoia, and my topic is the occupation of the Japanese during World War II of the islands of the Philippines.
Now, why are we going to talk about that when ISIS is on the march?
It ties directly into what you're talking about, Dr. Savage.
Go ahead.
Basically, the Catholic soldier in the guerrilla movement against the occupation of the Japanese had two enemies at the time. This is a forgotten history, not told in the books. They had the Japanese occupying the islands, and they also had the Muslim jihadists who took the opportunity during the occupation of the Japanese to kill Catholics and other Christians, wholesale slaughter.
I'll slow down now. Let's explain to people what you're talking about. The Philippines is largely a Catholic population. However, there's a subpopulation of Muslims, if they're known as Moros, and they're largely tribesmen, and they have been at war with the Catholics in the Philippines for hundreds of years. Is that correct?
It is very correct.
All right. And so during the Japanese occupation of the Philippines, the Muslims joined the Japanese murderers and did what?
They raped women. They chopped open the stomachs of pregnant women, threw out the fetuses, chopped them in half with their katana swords, and then threw salt in the womb. They would take prisoners of war, make them dig their own graves, kill them, but killing them by opening their wrists and putting salt in the wombs and letting them bake in the sun. We're talking about doing this to their own countrymen. They look exactly the same. The only difference is they believed in Islam. And it ties directly to this mental disorder that is Islam, Dr. Savage, and you've been preaching about it, and I applaud you. Because
what's going to happen is if I let your words go out on the air without challenging them, I'll be accused of Islamophobia. The front groups for the Muslim Brotherhood will go screaming and yelling to my advertisers and to radio stations saying I'm a this, I'm a that. So we have to now say you didn't really mean Muslim. You meant Islamist, right? You meant radical Islamist. Isn't that what you really meant?
No, I meant jihadist Muslims.
Oh, well, you see, you haven't been corrected, my friend. Your brain has not been washed sufficiently. Did you not go to school in America? How can you say jihadist and Muslim in the same breath? Were you not educated here in America? I mean, brainwashed by the girls who run the schools?
No, sir. I was raised by a World War II veteran who was a gunnery sergeant who fought against these monsters.
Well, you see, that's your problem. You were raised by a right-wing nut. You were not raised by the people who raised Maria Harft and Josh Earnest, who do the bidding of Barack Obama and the Muslim Brotherhood. And because you're not properly brainwashed, I don't think you should have a right to even speak.
That's funny, Dr. Savage, because that's exactly what they're trying to do. And I just wanted to quickly applaud you on the Stop the Coming Civil War. I've read it three times, believe it or not. And
that's just a right-wing crackpot book. Barack Obama's not been trying to provoke people into some kind of insurrection. He's a good man who simply wants to change America for the better. And anyone who doesn't see it that way is just a racist and a right-wing crackpot. Now, a book like mine, Stop the Coming Civil War, as you well know, 6 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, would certainly not be permitted should there be Sharia law. As you well know, books like that wouldn't be published. You know that.
Dr. Savage, I'm going to call Bravo Sierra on that one. And I just want to say the chapter of the War on Borders, Language, and Culture, the section We Are Becoming Cultural Marxists, you have this amazing quote that everyone should hear. And it goes like this. Every baseless critique launched by contemporary Democrats brands them as implicitly remorseless and unapologetic practitioners of a reductive and degenerate method of operation based on lies and unrelenting criticism of the opposition. Perfectly summing up what happens when you try to debate these liberals and progressives.
How could you read such a long sentence without having your brain hurt you? You obviously were not educated properly like Josh Earnest and Marina Harft. I mean, if you could read a sentence that long, it means you haven't been properly educated. Where were you raised to be able to read a sentence of so many words?
I was raised in good old Silver Spring, Maryland, right off the outskirts of the District of Criminals, which I lovingly refer to as D.C. And you know what?
Wow, you really are a rebellious young man, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I was born in 1985. I'm 29. I've been listening to you since I was 21, and I love you, and you're my father.
That's the problem, is that it's because I'm on the radio that young men like you are having their brains radicalized. I mean, you're a radicalized American. That's actually worse than a radical Islamist. You're a radical American. And you really should be thinking about whether or not the Justice Department should permit you to walk around unfettered and not be arrested. Because let's face it, we can't have radicalized Americans speaking like this, can we? Not in Obama's America.
We have God-given inalienable rights, Dr. Savage. And I have
Let me ask you something. Is golf permitted under Sharia law? Will Obama still be allowed to golf if the radical Islamists take over? Or is that considered anti-Islamist? I know they killed 15 Iraqi boys or so a few weeks ago for committing the horrible war crime of watching soccer on television. So will golf be outlawed under Sharia law, I wonder?
Well, you know what? He can.
Hey, did your father pass away?
My father, he was in and out of my life. He's back home in the Philippines now. I was raised by my grandfather, who took guardianship of me and my brother and sister, regardless of the fact that we lived below the poverty line. I was raised to work for everything I have, and I was raised to question authority. And that's exactly what I'm doing, Dr. Savage. I have a youth.
Well, you see, that's the problem right there. You're raised to work for everything you have. You're not a good Obama citizen. You haven't been raised to say that someone took away your rights from you, that the white man stole your property or the white man kept you down. I mean, I don't understand that. You really have evaded the brainwashing of the government schools. How is that possible? Obviously, you're not a white man. Isn't that correct?
I am half white, half Filipino.
Well, you see, there's the problem. You're speaking like a white man, and that's your problem. You should be joining with your third world brethren in hating the white man. That would be a good American under Obama.
Obama has slapped my family in the face. They waited 10, 12 years to get a visa to come to this country. When they came here, they learned English. They learned our history. They knew the Declaration of Independence, and they became citizens naturalized. They did it the right way. And this monster in chief allows these immigrants to move across our borders unchecked, unchallenged, use up all of our welfare, and not pay back into the system. That's where I have a problem with this immigrant.
Where are they going to get new Democrats from? If the liberals are not getting married and having children, instead raising puppies, where are they going to get the next generation of Democrat voters? They'd have to import them. And the best way to do it is you bring in young, fertile mothers from Honduras on trains, not only with babies, but pregnant. So you just think how many voters you get in one, and it goes on for generations. If you bring a mother in from Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, as he did this summer, and she, let's say, is illiterate in Spanish, which she probably is, because most of them are illiterate in reading and writing Spanish, and then she has one or two babies, and she could have 10 more. Don't you see how many Democrat voters you have right there?
Yes, sir. And I just
You understand. I mean, that's the new America. That's the new face of America that Obama wants to transform it into. He said so. He didn't like America the way it was. He needs a newly transformed image of America. And we have some inkling of what it's going to look like. Anyway, we've had our fun with our Jonathan Swiftian interchange. I do appreciate your willingness to come on to the radio and speak so forcefully. And beware the 28th of October. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
But if we can help countries work at the root causes of this, what makes these 17-year-old kids pick up an AK-47 instead of try to start a business? Maybe we can try and chip away at this problem.
Now you understand why Harvard, Yale, Berkeley, and the other former Ivy League schools are now considered laughingstocks in the world. Outside of the hard sciences, they're useless. They produce idiots like this Marie Harf or this Josh Earnest, saying that the lack of opportunity for jobs in the Middle East should be the focus of the United States. Now, it's true that radical Islamists have been at war with the world for 1,000 years, but apparently she didn't learn that when she went to college. She probably took women's studies, gender identity courses, racism, multiculturalism, the dangers and evils of capitalism, how the U.S. military is racist. Meanwhile, the lengthy statement from the White House after the brutal murder of 21 Christians by Islamists in Libya made no mention of Muslims doing the brutality nor of Christians having their heads cut off. And now they add insult to injury, and they say that instead of fighting them, or killing them rather, the only way to fight them is to help them get jobs. Well, if you feel that was the way to have fought Hitler, why then you wouldn't be here today. If Obama had been commander-in-chief, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade.
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Right now what we're doing is trying to take their leaders and their fighters off the battlefield in Iraq and in Syria. We're killing a lot of them, and we're going to keep killing more of them. So are the Egyptians, so are the Jordanians. They're in this fight with us. But we cannot win this war by killing them. We cannot kill our way out of this war. But if we can help countries work at the root causes of this, what makes these 17-year-old kids pick up an AK-47 instead of try to start a business? Maybe we can try and chip away at this problem.
You know, radical Islamic extremism. You know, I'm not sure an awful lot is gained by saying that. That doesn't have any impact on our military posture. Doesn't have any impact on what we call it, on the policies that we put in place. What we have to do is defined not by the terms that we use, but by the facts on the ground.
My friends, this is the same way the civilized world reacted to the first reports of the Holocaust. The words of Eric Holder, Barack Obama, the spokesmouth for the State Department, Barack Obama's personal jester, Josh Earnest. This is the way the world reacted to the first reports of the Holocaust. And they talked about a proportional response. Don't bomb the railway lines going to Auschwitz. Don't get in the way of the bigger plan of golfing on weekends at the government expense. Welcome to hour number two of the Savage Nation. The phone number here is rather irrelevant because there's never any... Well, there's one open line at 855-407-282. And I am conducting unprotected talk again today where I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're going to say. And it's basically an open mic situation. We are talking about the barbarians known as Islamists who are burning, killing, beheading, raping, murdering, and conducting a blitzkrieg almost unopposed. And we have a president who is away without leave. Where is the president? Well, we know he was golfing over the weekend, but that's not a joke anymore. So why does Obama continue to do this? Is he naive? Does he have his head in the sand? Is he a pacifist? None of the above is true. According to individuals who I have read, who seem to know a lot more than I do about it, none of the above is the reason Obama and his spokesmouths are downplaying radical Islam for what they really are. I'm going to read you an email I received last night at midnight. It's going to be a redacted email. There will be no names attached to it. And I'll let you decide whether or not you think there's any veracity to this email. And it goes like this. The spate of attacks targeting critics of Islam is not happenstance. It is part of a concerted plan being pushed forward by the Organization of Islamic Cooperation as part of the culmination of their 10-year program of action. The intended outcome of these attacks being the implementation of Islamic slander laws in the United States and the West in general. The goal being to silence critics of Islam in advance of their ratcheting up the violence across the caliphate. He then writes, "This is going to get ugly. I also think that Walid bin Talal divesting from News Corp should put everyone who works for those newspapers inside the News Corp portfolio on notice that they may be in the strategic targeting sites of our enemy. I hope that Fox is increasing their security as well. The Muslim Brotherhood recently declared jihad again, and their warning set a specific date of February 28th. So buckle up. It's going to get more interesting very shortly." There's more written here which I can't read you, but I'll read you another line or two. He writes this. Al-Sisi and Abdullah are holding the line right now. Al-Sisi is despised by this administration. Abdullah in Saudi Arabia is a tripwire. If he fails or falls, the Israelis will move. The whole thing is a tinderbox. And listening to idiots pontificating on the media makes me sick to my stomach. Those men could be head faked by an anvil, at least when it comes to this enemy called radical Islam. There's more to the email, and I can't read it on the air without divulging my sources. But the fact of the matter is there are many intelligent men out there who know exactly what is going on and why Obama pretends to be immune to any kind of criticism. I'll read a little bit more. They are fulfilling their strategic objectives across the region and have been for years. They're getting closer and closer to fulfilling their strategic objectives here in America. It's amazing to watch this unfold. Who would have believed that we would ever be here? I'm afraid this war isn't going to end without a massive amount of killing, far more than most in America would like to believe. The absolutely clueless and morally bankrupt pundits discuss this enemy in academic and sophistic terminology, but the reality is very plain to see, and the requisite response is just as plain to see. Now, here's the most important line right now. The entire enemy strategy depends upon our cultural unwillingness to accept them for who they are. I'll repeat that in case you missed it. The entire enemy strategy depends upon our cultural unwillingness to accept them for who they are. So now let's go back to a few of the sound bites that we played, and you'll see how the propaganda war is being played out by the government itself. Play clip 3, for example.
But if we can help countries work at the root causes of this, what makes these 17-year-old kids pick up an AK-47 instead of try to start a business? Maybe we can try and chip away at this problem.
Really? It's not radical Islam at war with the world, Marie, huh? Is that what your mommy taught you? But now here's Eric Holder, the most dangerous attorney general in history, who will soon be gone, replaced by himself in a skirt because of the clueless Republicans, and I think they really are clueless, by the way. They're just lobbyists for big business in plain English. Listen to this now from Eric Holder in clip 19.
You know, radical Islamic extremism, you know, I'm not sure an awful lot is gained by saying that. That doesn't have any
impact.
All
right, stop right there. Not a lot is gained by saying that. The entire enemy strategy depends upon our cultural unwillingness to accept them for who they are. I rest my case. Do you agree or disagree with me? Do you see what I see? Do you see what's coming? Beheadings, setting people on fire. We have a couple of hundred troops now sitting surrounded by the enemy, and the president goes golfing instead of calling in the Air Force to annihilate them and smoke them before they take our troops prisoner. Do you understand what's going on? I see something far worse than Khe San from the Vietnam era about to happen because of the inaction, or shall I say, the very, very pronounced action by the White House. You see, by not acting, they're acting. Did you follow that one, or you didn't learn that at Harvard? I think I'll stop right here because I've said all I plan to say right now about this issue, because it's far worse than you probably think it is, and the enemy is not at the gates, the enemy is through the gates, and according to the FBI, the enemy is in all 49 states. So if the FBI knows that the enemy is here in 49 states, and they're watching them, then why don't they preemptively arrest them? Aha! Ah, there's the rub. For if they arrest them, why, Eric Holder and the cockamamie lawyers at NYU and Columbia with big eyeglasses will say, violation of civil rights! Civil rights violation! Arrest the FBI agent! The same way they stopped the NYPD from monitoring mosques to catch some of the bad ones before they struck. The same thing is now going on a federal level. At least that's one man's opinion. Now, I don't ask you to believe me entirely. You can certainly not believe me. You can turn the show off as well. You can go back to doing whatever you want to do. But I have an obligation to tell you that we are facing a battle not for our survival, but for the survival of all of civilization. And again, I remind you to imagine what a world will be like should the radical Islamists win, and why you must fight this evil wherever you are. Verbally is the only thing you can do right now. You must speak about it on supermarket lines, at churches and synagogues, at PTA meetings. You must speak about it wherever you go, because here's a world that has emerged in some nations where these Islamists have won. Women are not permitted to drive or hold a job. Women cannot go to school beyond the seventh grade. Homosexuals are stoned to death or thrown off roofs. Christians are beheaded. Jews are killed. Or Christians and Jews who are allowed to live with these saintly, wonderful people are forced to pay a certain tax. There is no television, no internet, no movies, no newspapers, no books except one book permitted. I think you know which book that is, don't you? I think you know which book it is. It's certainly not the Christian Bible. And yet the State Department says that we can't win by killing them. We need to get them jobs. And as Jordan and Egypt bomb ISIS, the same Egypt that Obama hates, the same Egypt that McCain hates, they're the ones taking the war to the enemy. Obama holds a summit on extremism, during which he doesn't mention Islam. And so on Sunday, when Islamists beheaded 21 Egyptian Coptic Christians, Egypt's Muslim president al-Sisi, a great man, launched air attacks there. The same Muslim president who John McCain wanted to overthrow. When news of the mass executions on a Libyan beach emerged on another gruesome video Sunday, Obama was enjoying another long vacation golfing with Hawaii gang pals in Palm Springs. And this was after his orgy of selfies for BuzzFeed. And so his stooge, Josh Earnest, a mini Goebbels, gave a 192-word speech denouncing the slaughter. And in this denouncement, he did not mention the word Christian or Muslim once. That's what he said. That's what he said. They refused to acknowledge the anti-Christian, anti-Jewish elements of these radical Muslim jihadists. And that is why the president's credibility has no credibility whatsoever amongst any American with a modicum of thought. As General Michael Flynn, former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, stated, "You can't defeat an enemy that you don't admit exists." All intelligent men and women understand that. Meanwhile, the latest news is even worse. The same people who Obama refuses to identify burnt to death 45 people in Iraq last night. Jihadist militants from Islamic State, Muslims. Muslim jihadists burnt to death 45 people in the western Iraqi town of al-Baghdadi. And only 5 miles away from this atrocity, the new Holocaust, there are 280 American troops under siege at the Al-Assad Air Base. The Al-Assad Air Base, there are U.S. Marines training members of the Iraqi Army's 7th Division. Why is Obama not launching airstrikes around the troops who have surrounded our men at this air base? By not acting, he is acting. By not acting for them, he's acting against them. Would you agree or disagree with that? And now it's time for me to take a break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. This community organizer has set the world aflame and the world against each other, destabilized the Middle East, and is now destabilizing America to an extent that no one could have imagined in their lifetime. And today he was halted by a U.S. district judge in Texas who said that he violated the Constitution in his declaration of amnesty for millions upon millions of illegal aliens. Now, I've been saying to you that what he has been doing is a crime punishable by removal from office and confinement and or a fine. He took an oath. He stated on his oath of office, "I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States." Federal law, 18 U.S. Code, 1918, 5 U.S.C., 7311 states this: categorically, failure to live up to this oath is a crime punishable by removal from office and confinement and or a fine. This violation of this oath of office is punishable by impeachment, fines, and imprisonment. Can anyone listening to this show say to me that President Obama has not only failed to preserve, protect, and defend, but has willfully violated our Constitution hundreds of times? This illegal amnesty legislation from his desk is just one example. I'll remind you of something else. We do follow, we are a nation of laws. And according to Article 1, Section 1, and Article 2, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution, all legislative power is held by Congress, not by Louis Gutierrez the Serpent, not by Barack the Gulf or Obama. Amnesty by Obama is a clear violation of the Constitution. It is a criminal act, and he can be impeached by those useless Republicans. So where are they? Where is Boehner? Did he say one thing about the beheadings or the people being burned alive? No. Louis Gutierrez, the Serpent, says, we don't care what the judge said. The morning after a federal judge halted Obama's illegal executive amnesty, Representative Louis Gutierrez, the Serpent, proclaimed that amnesty advocates will not be deterred. Gutierrez said he will continue to tell illegal aliens to sign up for Obama's executive amnesty. So we have a war going on in America. A war between the slimy serpents like Gutierrez and the American people who want a nation of laws where the law is applied equally to citizens and non-citizens alike. Now, as you well know, they're not citizens. They're members of residents of a foreign nation. And yet you know Gutierrez doesn't represent America. Headline, Judge halts amnesty. President's legal footing eviscerated. Temporary restraining order. White House to appeal. Gutierrez says we will not be deterred. On the bottom of the Drudge Report, the headline is, Italy fears ISIS invasion. As I said to you yesterday, jokingly, there is no military in Italy. I told you that. I said, who's going to stop ISIS if they jump an Italian frigate and land on the shores of Italy? Who's going to stop them? The men playing foosball in a cafe? The men who were staring at their behinds in a mirror somewhere at home and living with their mother, wondering how God could have made somebody so beautiful as them, 38 years old, living at home and not working? That's going to stop ISIS? It's like a corrupt West, like a donut, like a cream puff. A cream puff being cut through by a knife, and the knife is ISIS. And the West is a cream puff. And that's why the blitzkrieg goes on. It's not as though we don't have knives to stop the knife. Oh, we have them. And we have the men ready to cut their eyes out. We have the men ready to cut their hearts out. We have the men ready to cut their heads off and put them on spikes. Don't we? But where are they? Where is the leadership?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
But if we can help countries work at the root causes of this, what makes these 17-year-old kids pick up an AK-47 instead of try to start a business? Maybe we can try and chip away at this problem.
Nobody can believe that this girl still has a job. Can anyone listening to this show tell me you actually believe that the Islamists would put down their weapons and stop cutting off heads if they had a job flipping Camel burgers? Of course not. It's a ridiculous question. It makes no sense for me to even ask it. So let's go to the callers now on the Savage Nation. We have no open lines. Let's go to line number 3 when I call your number. Give us your name, station, and topic. Line 3, go ahead, please.
Hi, Chris Pruitt, with the WJR in Detroit. My question is, why aren't these politicians fighting the war like a war? The last time we actually fought a war in the United States the way it's supposed to be fought was in World War II. And guess what? We won. Then the politics get involved.
That's right. And we lost in Korea. In fact, if you remember what happened when MacArthur wanted to bomb the dams in China to stop the Chinese from invading Korea, you remember what happened at that point, correct? What he was named? Everything was named under the sun. He was called every name under the sun.
When going back to your number one caller from, he was from the Philippines. We have family in the Philippines also. But back when U.S. General
Blackjack Pershing was running the Philippines. He had an uprising with the Muslims.
Yes, they were called the Moro tribesmen. They were quite vicious and quite ferocious as fighters. I know what Pershing did. He annihilated them, and he did a really good job at stopping them. It's an interesting side note, which you probably know. The U.S. military had a sidearm at that time, the .38 caliber sidearm. And when they fired them at these Moro tribesmen who were stoned on some kind of drug and were Islamic maniacs in one lethal combination, they would not be stopped with a .38 caliber bullet. They would keep coming at the U.S. Marines or the U.S. Army soldiers who were there with their weapons. They couldn't stop them no matter how many times they hit them, unless they hit them in a vital spot. And so the U.S. Army sent a request back to the arsenal in the U.S. and said, develop a round that will stop a man no matter how stoned he may be or no matter how big he may be, that if he's hit with it, he'll go down. And that's the origin of the .45 caliber cartridge. Those who know weapons know that that happens to be a fact. That huge round, that .45 caliber round, will stop any man no matter how big he is and no matter how stoned he might be. And it was developed because of these fanatical Islamist Moros who could not be stopped with a .38. Line number four, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Mike. I've got two comments. One of them is about this woman talking about getting jobs and, in effect, rehabilitating these killers. You know, if you go back to the 60s, this was tried in the U.S. prison system.
That's right. Oh, sure, that worked out real well.
Oh, didn't it, though?
Yeah, but it's the same liberal mentality, which is that men don't rape because they're fundamentally bad. They rape because they've been denied love as a child.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, so the logical extension of that for a Marie Hoft would be to let women... women should be forced by the government to give their bodies to a rapist so that then it wouldn't be called rape anymore.
That's right.
In other words, if a man rapes a woman, about the worst crime that could be committed against anyone is rape. Well, I would say beheading is worse, maybe, but let's put it right up there with beheading, because it steals a person's dignity for life. The insanity of liberalism is that the rapist is not really a bad person. He's just deprived of love. And so the logical conclusion to that would be to give him love by government decree. Maybe you could create a comfort women, as the Japanese did with Korean women. I mean, the Japanese soldiers needed to relieve their stress of killing and murdering in the Philippines and in China. And the only way to relieve their stress was to have them rape women. And so they created comfort women using women, grandmothers, mothers, daughters in China. And they used Chinese like they were prostitutes. That's what the Japanese did in China. And by the way, the Chinese never forgot that. The Rape of Nanking is a story that needs to be remembered, because if you don't understand that, you really don't understand, I'd say, some of the fundamental thinking of modern China. You'd say they don't think about it, you're wrong. We have no collective memory of history, and they have a very, very deep collective memory of history. The Chinese remember that insult. The Chinese remember the English addicting the entire nation to opium. The Chinese remember Franklin Delano Roosevelt's maternal grandfather being a drug smuggler who brought the drugs in for the British, who brought the opium to China for the British. He was the mules. He provided the ships. That's how FDR's family fortune was made, through the maternal side. You don't know any of this, but you're lucky enough to be listening to Michael Savage, who remembers all of these things and puts it all together in a succinct manner. Line number six, go ahead, please. State your name, station, and topic. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, yeah, my name is Uriel. I'm calling from WABC in New York. Yeah, I'd like to talk about, back to what you were saying about why Obama doesn't do anything, and why Obama's just, you know, basically sitting there with his hands tied, so to speak. The answer is, in my opinion, is that he can't do anything. And he can't do anything because he's nothing more than just a mere puppet of the Illuminati,
I have a friend who talks about the Illuminati. What good does that do us to talk about that? What does the Illuminati have to do with anything when you have radical Islamists who we know what they are killing people and cutting their heads off? What do the Illuminati have to do with that?
That's who's funding them. You have to ask yourself, who's funding ISIS? How did they get all this money? You know, the woman who spoke about giving them jobs, right? Of course, it's not going to do anything. I completely agree. Because if they were in it for the money, then they would try to go get a job.
If we wanted to conduct a war against the Islamofascists, you cut off their funding, as you say. You cut off their supply lines, which is the fundamental first thing you do, their communications and supply lines. Has Obama commanded that during his golfing vacation? Did the commander-in-chief tell the military to conduct sorties against their command structure? I don't understand how people can't see what's going on here. By not acting, he's acting. And what I mean by that is by not opposing them, he's actually defending them. It's that simple. Okay, let's go to the callers. I promised to make this a caller-based segment on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-407-2822. Line number 3, go ahead. You're next up on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. This is Vernon, KCMO, and my topic is the Million American March on Memorial Day. I've gotten a couple emails talking about a Million American March to remove this president from office.
Well, who's conducting this? That's really overdue.
I know it's overdue. I was stunned to see it, and I think it's about time it happened.
Well, he's committed a violation of his oath of office 200 times.
Yes, and the Second Amendment gives us the right to go and...
Well, we don't need to go to war to have him impeached. Jeff Sessions has compiled 200 examples of Obama dismantling immigration enforcement. 200 times he acted on his own and overrode Congress. Now, take all the other things that this dictator has done. He is absolutely impeachable.
But
and that is our recourse in a nation of laws. We're not Islamic fanatics. We don't need to shoot anybody. We don't need to yell. We don't need to scream. We don't need to conduct violence in order to impeach somebody. We have a body of laws that provides for the impeachment of a man who arises and becomes a dictator.
And we elected our Congress to do that for us, and they have failed us. So we need to...
Well, you're going to go back to your primary point. If you want a shooting civil war, leave me out of it. I don't want to descend into chaos in this country. Because even when I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War, remember the first word. It's called Stop the Coming Civil War, not Start It. And no matter how Obama wants to start a civil war, you must stop it. You must not let him and Holder and these evil, evil people who are trying to provoke us every day and in every way, insulting Christianity, insulting Judaism, insulting America, insulting the flag, insulting the family, insulting the church, insulting father, insulting mother, insulting Washington, insulting Lincoln, insulting the Constitution. Don't take the bait. Impeach him instead. It's that simple. Line number 4, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
It's Michael, Greg from Chatham reporting in, WABC Radio, New York City. Michael.
Yes, sir.
If I was president, this is what I would do. I would get all the armed forces together in a huge meeting at a military base, and I would say, I am signing an executive order, doing away with all rules of engagement except for one. We're going to go and kill these SOBs, and they don't belong to any country. They're not a legitimate soldier, so there's no convention... Geneva Convention applied here. If they try to surrender, you put a round in their gut and let them see their guts spill out on the sand. And then you finish them off after about 5 minutes. And then I'd go on the deck of the USS Ronald Reagan with my leather commander-in-chief jacket. I would have bands out there with the Star-Spangled Banner, and I would have them teach me how to give that signal to the jets to take off the deck. And I would be the commander-in-chief on that deck, and I would send those boys off of that deck. With media.
I got it. So a lot of people are thinking what it would be like to have a real war leader, but we don't have one.
Gotta get one.
Do you know what the rules of engagement happen to be? Are you aware of the rules of engagement in the battles? Are you aware of what Obama and, by the way, what Bush first did to the troops over there? Are you aware of what the rules of engagement actually are?
Michael, I read American Sniper and I was shocked. Do you know that he had to keep a pad and a pen and paper with him? After every kill, Chris Kyle had to note a witness, the day, the time, yeah. the description of the...
Well, I understand what George Bush did to the military. You know, we criticize Obama, rightly so. But it was Bush who introduced laws of engagement that made it impossible for us to win the war. Nearly impossible. And, you know, I've raised a lot of money for a lot of troops who are falsely imprisoned, you know that, for killing the enemy. And one of them came home crippled, and he was on this show. In fact, if you go to michaelsavage.com, he's the young man with a dog who was so severely wounded in Iraq. Or was it Afghanistan? I don't really remember right now. But I did a lot of work to get his dog back to him. And you should know that we're now buying him a van to get around. He's been released from the military. He's going to take a job somewhere. He's retired, and he needs a van. And I've donated $15,000 to him from my Michael Savage legal fund for him to buy a van. And I didn't make a big deal out of it because I'm not on Fox News where it's a photo op, but I just want you to know that we did it. And we try to help our troops any way we can on the Savage Nation. And that includes with legal representation, and others are doing it, by the way, when they're falsely accused of doing their job a little too well. One other note before I take a quick break. And the last caller talked about rules of engagement, which is don't hesitate to kill the enemy. I was watching a series, one of the segments of the Vikings last night, one of my new favorite series. And in their training, in their encampment, before they go on their raids to England, they're teaching people how to be warriors. I mean, they were horrible, you know, pillagers. They were the terrible people, but they were great battlers. And he taught one of them, never hesitate. In other words, in a battle, do not hesitate for a second. Kill the other man. He who hesitates gets killed, is what he was teaching the guy he was jousting with the axe and the sword and the shields. And the minute the man hesitated, he brought his sword down upon his neck, not to kill him, he was training him. And he said to him, remember what I'm teaching you now, never hesitate in battle. And our men have been taught, always hesitate in battle. Always hesitate in battle. And that is why the United States of America is now a sad, pitiful giant. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. So now we go to the issue of climate change. Now that blizzards and snowstorms are hitting the East Coast, this fool Bill Nye, some kind of creepy weatherman, goes on the propaganda outlet MSNBC and says to them, don't say global warming when it's cold and snowing out. We want you in the media to use the word climate change. And then the same stooges who say that we need to give jobs to the ISIS barbarians are telling everyone to use the word climate change when it's snowing outside, and that no matter what the weather is, it proves once and for all that it's a result of global warming, that you have blizzards and snow on the East Coast right now, which, by the way, is somewhat normal, historically normal, in February on the East Coast. I mean, if you remember the old adage, I was born in March, and I remember it was said when I was born, March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb, because in the East Coast, we all used to know that January and February and even March were cold months and snowy months in the Northeast. But that all changed when Al Gaglione came along, the head of the Gaglione crime syndicate, in my opinion, and with Madoff, in my imagination, created the scam of global warming. You see, over the years, people who never went to college to study anything except gender reassignment surgery and racism and the anti-capitalist teachings of Harvard have blamed global cooling, warming, clooming for any of the following at any time. It's either global cooling, global warming, or climate change that explains rising sea levels, falling sea levels, droughts, floods, rising temperatures or cooling temperatures. Climate change explains decreased sea ice and increased sea ice. It explains more hurricanes and less hurricanes. It explains an increase in polar ice and a decrease in polar ice. It explains an increase in severe thunderstorms and a decrease in severe thunderstorms. It may even explain erectile dysfunction, for all we know. Climate change could be responsible for erectile dysfunction and a declining birth rate in the West. Because if you don't believe any of this, then you're probably some kind of right-wing Neanderthal and intolerant of real scientists who receive grants from the government. And if you question anything that Barack Hussein Obama does, in addition to being a Neanderthal, you're a racist. That's the world according to the progressive. This is Michael Savage, another big hour across America. Be here or be nowhere. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Right now what we're doing is trying to take their leaders and their fighters off the battlefield in Iraq and in Syria. We're killing a lot of them, and we're going to keep killing more of them. So are the Egyptians, so are the Jordanians. They're in this fight with us. But we cannot win this war by killing them. We cannot kill our way out of this war. But if we can help countries work at the root causes of this, what makes these 17-year-old kids pick up an AK-47 instead of try to start a business? Maybe we can try and chip away at this problem.
As I said to you in the last 2 hours on the Savage Nation, I received a secret email last night, which the sender will remain anonymous, where he said, and he studied the Islamists for the last, I think, 10 years, military man, and he wrote, "The entire enemy strategy depends upon our cultural unwillingness to accept them for who they are." Did you hear what I just said to you? And the enemy is fulfilling their strategic objectives across the region, and now in America. And he said it's gotten much farther than anybody could believe. And their tentacles go right up into the White House. He blames the media. As you well know, I'm no fan of the media. The absolutely clueless and morally bankrupt pundits who discuss the enemy in academic and sophistic terminology. And that's where we are today. And now we have girls like this Harft creature saying that it's because they lack jobs that the barbarians are on the warpath. Here is a clueless, uneducated moron who was hired by Obama to make a laughingstock of the United States of America around the world. I mean, leaders in other Western nations know that it's Muslims conducting the murder, and they know it was Christians who were beheaded, and they know that ISIS burned 45 people to death in Iraq, and they say so. The only government that refuses to say so, well, would be the American government. And you have to ask yourself why. Is it because they're pacifists and they don't want to incite further violence? That's one theory, but I don't believe that's true. I think it's something else entirely. Another big story is that a single judge has halted Obama's criminal illegal amnesty plans. His legal footing was exposed for what it was, made of clay. And the fact of the matter is, the millions of illegals who thought they were going to come here and, let us say, do what they do well in their own country, are now stopped for a moment. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. When I call your number, please give us your name, your station, and your topic. Line number two, go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. My name is Karen. I'm listening to you on KFSO. And I'm calling about the Marines that are being surrounded by these ISIS terrorists on their base in Al-Assad. I watched the news this morning, and I cannot stand to hear that woman's voice one more time. I kept thinking of your sorority girls, and it just makes me want to pull my...
Yeah, these are the white sorority girls are running America. They are the most clueless, imaginable gang that has ever conquered the White House. I've never seen anything like this.
I believe it's useful idiots. But the other thing that I wanted to say is the reason they can't call it evil, and I don't think the useful idiots even understand that. But the ones that do don't call it evil because they themselves are evil, and evil will not.
Absolutely. Yeah. This kind of mentality is an evil mentality, but I'm concerned about the 280 Marines now surrounded by the Muslim barbarians. Tell me why Obama doesn't launch airstrikes to save them. Why?
Yes, Dr. Savage, and they're broadcasting what their intent is here. They killed those 21 Christians.
Why doesn't Obama launch airstrikes to stop the Islamic barbarians before they kill our Marines?
Right, and now 5 miles away, or burned to death.
Why doesn't Obama launch airstrikes to protect our Marines who are surrounded? Does he want them captured and humiliated?
I can't believe they'd stand there for that. I can't.
Who's gonna stop him? He's God Almighty, isn't he?
Pardon me?
He's God Almighty. Who's to stop Obama? Isn't he God?
Oh, I can only hope and pray there's some Marines left that still haven't...
I would hope and pray that there's a Republican Party! That stands up and gives a press conference every day and says, we will not stand idly by while our Marines are surrounded by the Islamic barbarians. We demand that the president launch airstrikes immediately until the enemy is defeated. Why hasn't Boehner done that? Why isn't that useless gobbler with the gullet under his neck, that McConnell creature, said anything? There is no two-party system. I've told you since 1994, when I first stormed my way onto the airwaves, and people said I wouldn't last a week. I'm here 20 years. You know why? The truth is the greatest defense there is. You ask any lawyer. The truth is the greatest defense ever, ever, ever imaginable. The reason I'm still on the radio is because nobody can refute what I'm saying. It's true. I mean, if I was making things up, I wouldn't be on the radio for 20 years. It'll be 21 years this March, God willing. I'm asking you why Obama doesn't launch airstrikes to save our Marines. What is he doing? Does he actually want to see them captured and burnt alive and beheaded? God forbid. Tell me what will happen in this country if that happens. I want to know what will happen if the U.S. Marines are surrounded and this is done to them. I want to know what's going to happen in this country. What are you going to do? I want to know what you're going to do in your neighborhood. What I want to know what you're going to do in your village. I want to know what you're going to do in your office. I want to know what you're going to do to make certain that this country understands that an enemy has invaded this country from the top down. That's if this happens, because it could be prevented right now. Obama could prevent these atrocities from occurring right now. Our Marines are there training Iraqi troops at this airbase. The airbase is surrounded by the Muslim barbarians. It's a fact. Everything I just said is a fact. They're 5 miles away. Has Obama ordered airstrikes against these barbarians who are threatening the airbase? Has he ordered an evacuation of the airbase, creating a corridor of safety for them with tanks, if necessary, which could be brought in, incidentally, tanks, air power, whatever's necessary. Airborne troops could be sent in. I mean, he could unleash the 101st Airborne tomorrow, tonight, and send in God knows how many thousands of men to evacuate that airbase. Why hasn't he done that? Does he want to see our men beheaded? Do you want to wake up to see U.S. Marines beheaded? And what will the average liberal say? Nothing? Don't you understand this is how the Holocaust began? Don't you understand that this is exactly what went on when people like myself were screaming from the highest rooftop that they're killing the Jews in the concentration camps and the world was indifferent to it? Don't you understand what I'm trying to say to you? I'm sure that those of you who listen to me every day do understand what I'm trying to say to you. But why is it so? Why is there such a level of ignorance out there? Why? What's happened to the country? You can blame drugs, you can blame propaganda, you can blame anything you want. But this is commonsensical. Who but an enemy of America would want to see these Marines captured and humiliated? Why is there no Republican outcry demanding immediate air power and airborne troops to rescue them and get them out of there? Tell me why. Well, I guess we don't want to show the American troops leaving. I guess you want to show we have great resolve inside the White House against the enemy. We don't want to show withdrawal. Is that it? Well, then support them. Send in 10,000 paratroopers. Remember World War II? D-Day? Remember what that looked like? All the movies you've seen? Thousands and thousands of airborne troops can be landed virtually immediately. Where are they? They're in Germany, aren't they? We have the 101st Airborne. We have the 82nd Airborne. Where are they? Why are they not being used here? There's an emergency. The base is surrounded. Why is Obama golfing and holding a treaty, a convention, a nonsense propaganda ministry event about extremism and not talking about Islam? Why? Well, some would argue they know why. The rest of America is ignorant. They don't know why. And yet Obama's ratings are way up, according to a Gallup. Now, I don't know anyone who's ever been called by Gallup. Obama's ratings are way up. Potatoes are cheaper. Tomatoes are cheaper. Now's the time to grab a gal. I guess they used to grab a gal. Obama job approval, according to Gallup. Gallup's an extension of the government, by the way. The Gallup poll is an extension of the Obama White House. Gallup poll. What does that mean? Who did they interview? Well, you look at it. Look at it. I have a PhD in epidemiology, human nutrition, and part of my PhD training was in statistics. So the Gallup poll says the results showing Obama is so popular is based on telephone interviews with approximately 1,500 national adults. That's very interesting. Telephone interviews. Do you know anyone who answers a phone when they're called during a work day? I don't. If I get a call, I hang up on them. I don't even pick up the phone. Let's say my cell. First of all, I don't even say cell phones. It says telephones. So who answers a landline but a welfare recipient who votes for Obama? Or a retiree who collects a government check? It doesn't even say 1,500 citizens, does it? It says national adults. What's a national adult? Is that an illegal alien sitting here waiting for an Obama amnesty plan? So it shows you what the Gallup poll is. It's garbage. It's nothing. It's about as useful as the field poll in San Francisco, a wholly owned subsidiary of the Willie Brown machine. That's what it's about, as useful as that. 50% at Gallup. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CON. Meanwhile, as we are speaking, as our men are surrounded, as the barbarians continue on their blitzkrieg, the psychotics inside the White House are holding a conference on extremism and not mentioning one word about Muslims, not talking about Christians having their heads cut off, not talking about Jews being killed and being run out of Europe. That's what the White House is conducting right now. And take a look at the attendees. Half of them look like they're on the other side rather than on this side. 855-407-282 is the phone number. Let's go to the calls right now on the Savage Nation. Line number two. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation on line two.
Dr. Savage, my name's Diane. I listen on KSFO. Today I saw the most blatant example of anti-Semitism in my city I have ever seen. There is a giant billboard that says, "Stop bleeding money to Israel," saying how much is happening per day, blah, blah, blah. It is funded by If Americans Knew, and I looked them up on the web. I am wondering if you have any information on this nonprofit tax-exempt organization that is that's putting that billboard out there. At this time when we're at war, when Jews are targeted, I cannot imagine any sign company would put that up.
Well, what city are you in, San Francisco?
Actually, I'm not. I'm in Kansas City. I listen on my iPad on KSFO, so I'm in.
Oh, so the Muslim extremists have penetrated Kansas City with their leftist friends?
They have to have. I called the sign company just outraged, and oh, they were very apologetic. But we do have free speech. But you could.
Yeah, right. They have free speech, right? Yeah. The leftists in Kansas City are working with the Islamists to attack Israel while Israel has its back to a wall. I appreciate that. Thank you. Let's go to the next caller, line number eight. Eight, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Well, my name's Eric, and I'm from WBAP in Fort Worth, and I think I have your answer. Osama Obama is a Muslim sympathizer. He sympathizes with him.
No, with that we know. Look, there's no problem with that in the sense that Jordan is a Muslim nation, and they're fighting ISIS. But he's not even fighting ISIS with both hands, is he?
No, he does the minimum necessary.
So he's not a Muslim sympathizer. I think you're halfway there. But you have to take the next step. Jordan is a Muslim nation who launched its F-16s against ISIS. Egypt is the largest Muslim nation on earth under this great hero. He's launched his airplanes against ISIS. But why is Obama fighting with one hand behind his back is the question. He's not a Muslim sympathizer. There's something a little more to it than meets the eye. He may be a little different than what you think. He may not be a Muslim sympathizer. He may be a certain other kind of sympathizer. Line number three, welcome to the program. What's your name?
Tom from the Bronx here, WABC.
And what's on your mind?
I'd like to say that when so many millions of people are displaced out of their homes and living in the desert, they get miserable, and what do? They join the evil side of life. What they should be doing to unravel this mess is to create a homeland for the Palestinian people, but not in Israel.
Wait. You're going in circles. What? Wait a minute, sir. What does the war in Libya have to do with Israel?
We can unravel this mess.
Well, sir, you're not listening. You're blaming the Jews for what the Muslims have been doing for 1,000 years.
For a change.
Are you listening to me? Can you hear one word anyone says to you? I am not your deceased wife. Let me repeat it again. Radical Islamists have been at war with Christians and Jews for 1,000 years, long before Israel was on the map. So how do you explain that?
The idea is to unravel this mess.
No, you're not listening to me again. How do you explain the Muslims fighting with the Catholics in the Philippines? Is that because of Israel?
It's this mess that's catching fire, wildfire.
But they've been fighting the Catholics in the Philippines before Israel was formed.
That's something, but I'm talking about in the Middle East.
How come the Muslims have been killing Hindus before the State of Israel was created? Is that also the Jews' fault?
Sir.
No, I asked you a question.
What?
You're alleging that if the Palestinians were given a homeland, the world would be at peace. I said, I'm asking you another question. Then how come the Muslims have been killing Hindus long before Israel was created? What does that have to do with Jews?
Me. I want to say this.
You're not answering the question, so you have forfeited the right to say anything else. You raised a false herring. You're part of the anti-Semitic brigade saying that it's the Jews' fault for the Muslim uprising around the world. And I'm showing you in one case after another where Muslims have been fighting with their neighbors before Israel was created, but you keep going over that unsightly fact.
Done today. And what's fueling this story is this mess.
So in other words, if there was a Palestinian homeland, the Muslims would stop killing people in France, is that it?
We have to start someplace.
Well, why don't we start with your home? Why don't you open up your home to a Palestinian? You're in the Bronx, aren't you? Do you live alone or do you have an extra room somewhere where you can put in a Palestinian family?
Israel for Israelis.
No, I think you should open up your home to some Palestinians. And while you're at it, some Native Americans who were displaced by the evil white man. One bedroom that used to have your child in it could have a Native American, the other could have a Palestinian. Bring in some illegal aliens from Mexico for your third bedroom, and then you'll be a pure, good, multicultural American.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Can you get scored across the planet? ISIS burned 45 people to death in the captured Iraqi town of al-Baghdadi as Islamists attacked the homes of security forces, families, dailymail.com. 45 human beings set on fire in a western Iraqi town. Now pay close attention, all of you fools. There are 320 U.S. Marines stationed just 5 miles away at the Ain al-Assad Air Base. And Barack Obama has not yet launched airstrikes against these ISIS members to stop them from ensnaring our Marines. Now, what are you going to do if you wake up and you see our Marines slaughtered, put in cages, set on fire, dragged through the streets, dismembered and beheaded? What are you going to do, go about your daily business and say, oh my God, that's terrible. But he's a good man. He's doing the best he can. And we can't really antagonize them by saying anything bad against Islam. Because they're not really Muslims. They're something else. We don't know what they are, but we know they're not Muslims. We were told they're not Muslims. We were told that anyone who says that they are Muslims is a racist and should be arrested and sent to The Hague. No, no, but we really like the Marines better, but, you know, it's really not our business. We shouldn't have been there. I mean, if the Marines had stayed home, they wouldn't have been captured. And if they wouldn't have been captured, they wouldn't have been sent alive. I mean, that's the American way, is not meddling in foreign affairs. Unless it is to cause Russia to go to war with us or something like that. I don't follow it all. It's too much for me. You know, leave me alone. Now, ask yourself what's going on in the world and how did this happen so quickly? How did it happen so quickly that this so-called ISIS, which came out of nowhere, is suddenly able to perform a blitzkrieg, and they seem to be unstoppable? Are they really unstoppable? If we could stop a German panzer division, how could we not stop ISIS? If the United States can stop the German military, or could stop the German military, if the United States could beat the North Koreans and the Chinese in Korea in many battles, if the United States military could defeat the North Vietnamese, which they did, by the way, in almost every engagement in Vietnam, how is it that the United States military, under this commander in grief, has not been able to stop the barbarians known as ISIS? You'd have to say, A, he's not prosecuting the war thoroughly, or B, well, let's not go to B. I believe that it's much more sinister than you may believe. I believe that the Muslim Brotherhood has frankly deeply penetrated the White House. I don't know how far up it goes, but I don't have to go any further than to say this to you. Why would I say that I believe the Muslim Brotherhood is influencing the White House or has penetrated the White House? Well, let's look at what's happened. Hillary Clinton and the others introduced a theory called the Arab Spring, where they wanted to overthrow despotic leaders and replace them with democracy. And so they killed Gaddafi, they jailed Mubarak, and what happened? The countries descended into tribalism. And the only way the Egyptians had a road back from that hellhole run by the Muslim Brotherhood was when this brave man, the head of the military, kicked the Muslim Brotherhood out. Now, who tried to stop this brave general in Egypt from kicking the Muslim Brotherhood out of Egypt? Who tried to stop him? John McCain and Barack Obama. Barack Obama demanded that the Muslim Brotherhood be restored in Egypt. John McCain, the war criminal, he actually went to Cairo and demanded that the Muslim Brotherhood be restored to power in Egypt. But the Egyptians said drop dead to the United States, and they said drop dead to John McCain. We're not going to be ruled by 7th century barbarians. And that's the world under these Muslim Brotherhood individuals. Take a look at what they do when they conquer. So what does that have to do with America? Why do I allege that the Muslim Brotherhood may be influencing Barack Obama and his minions in the White House? Take a look at their rhetoric. Listen to what they say. They're trying to pass laws which will make it illegal to criticize Islam. Did you know that? Did you know that that's part of their war? Just as before World War II, the Germans, the Nazis rather, had what was known as the German-American Bund operating here in the United States of America, there is a Muslim Brotherhood American Bund operating here in America. I wouldn't say it's a Muslim American Bund, because not all Muslims are the Muslim Brotherhood. But I would say it's a Muslim Brotherhood Bund running here in America, and they have front groups. So if anyone speaks out against the head cutting, or the burning alive of people, or the killing of Jews, they're attacked as racists by the Muslim Brotherhood Bund in the media and in the government. How far up does this Muslim this Bund run? Does it run all the way into the White House? Some would argue yes. Some have been saying, Obama, how dare you not speak out against the beheadings? Why do you call it just some folks in a deli and not say Jews? Why are you always so sensitive to Muslims and so insensitive to Christians and Jews? Are you naive, Mr. Obama? No, he's not naive. He's president. He didn't get there by being naive. He didn't get there by being stupid. The golf is a front. The playing at the games is a front, and the golf is a front of, like, Mr. Doofus. He knows what he's doing, some would say. What would you say? They are at war with us, and if they are permitted to win, if these children who work for Obama are permitted to spew their stupidity, saying that we got to get them jobs in order to stop them. We will not have 1,000 years of darkness. We will have a perennial darkness. Try to imagine a world where there are no radios, no televisions, no internet, no movies, no newspapers, no books except one book, as though we're living in the 7th century. Could you imagine a world where homosexuals are thrown off rooftops or killed in front of a crowd who, if the gay doesn't die, they stone him to death? It happened in Iraq 3 weeks ago. There are pictures of it on the internet that the media will not show you. Can you imagine a world where women are not permitted to drive or hold a job or go to school beyond grammar school? That's some of what will come to this country unless we fight with everything in us to make certain that the quislings in this government are shown for who they are and that a real government is put in place to save us from these madmen. You may not know this, but jihad is on the march. And jihad is here in America. Now, what is jihad? Obama said jihad is not war. No, but jihad is defined as a war against non-Muslims to establish the religion. That's what jihad really is. And yet the propagandists have been telling us that that's not really what jihad is. They're a liar. It is war. There's a lot more that you need to learn about stoning, beheading, amputation of limbs, flogging, and things such as that nature. You need to learn more about slavery. You need to learn more about what it's really like to live under the jihadists before you open your pie hole and start telling the world that it's like every other place on earth. And that the only reason they're acting like this is because of George Bush's foreign policy. They have been at war with the West for 1,000 years. And if we lose this war, we will have darkness forever. Ask yourself a question, fools. How come Obama or his spokesmouth, the war criminal Josh Ernst, or this idiot who works for the State Department, does not use the word Muslim in any of their statements? How come they do not talk about Christians having their heads cut off when the video showing their heads being cut off was entitled A Message Signed with Blood to the Nation of the Cross as they slaughtered the Christians? How come there's no mention of the word Christians? How come Josh Ernest, the war criminal, in my opinion, has studiously avoided any mention of radical Islam or its animosity toward Christians and Jews? Is this not a war crime since they're at war with us and Josh Ernest is basically covering for our enemy? How come a senior administration official said yesterday during a conference call with stenographers called reporters, we are not treating these people as part of a religion. We're treating them as terrorists. We call them our enemies and we'll be treating them as such. How come world leaders outside of Washington, where it seems to me the Muslim Brotherhood dictates to this president and his moronic children, the spokesmouths, what they should and should not say? How come outside of Washington, world leaders are connecting ISIS, which pits Islamists against the world's other great religions? How come? Why outside of Washington, all world leaders connect ISIS, the self-described Islamic State of Iraq and al-Sham, as a religious battle which pits Islamists against the world's other great religions, but these war criminals inside the White House refuse to tell us that? The headline right now in the Drudge Report is quite telling. Italy fears ISIS invasion. I jokingly said yesterday there is no Italian military. Well, guess what? There is no Italian military. And now, as ISIS makes inroads into Libya, officials in Rome are panicking about an IS statement where they said we're just across the sea and the next stop is Rome. And what do they have to fight these barbarians? Italy has only 5,000 troops available that are deployable. Did you hear this? Did you know that the socialists in Italy cut the military budget by 40% 2 years ago? Did you know that there is fundamentally no military in Italy? And frankly, the men, as I said to you yesterday, not so jokingly, are busily looking at themselves in mirrors to see how good they look in tight jeans. Libya, remember, is only 109 miles away from the island of Lampedusa. And Libya is only 300 miles from Sicily. But you want to hear something even worse? Pro-immigration liberals and socialists in Italy are forcing the Italian Navy to pick up immigrants who are fleeing these Muslim hellholes and bringing them not back to Libya, but into Italy. How hard would it be for some of these men to overtake an Italian Navy ship and land on one of the Italian territorial possessions? That is the dangerous fear that is going on now in Italy. Meanwhile, in America, Obama's open borders policies were today halted for a moment by a single judge who said no to amnesty. He has passed a temporary restraining order that has put the pro-amnesty scum on alert. Gutierrez, the serpent, has said we don't care what the judge said, we will not be deterred. Yes, my friends, we are fighting for the survival of America and freedom itself. And this program, The Savage Nation, is one of your last beacons of truth. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
What we're doing is trying to take their leaders and their fighters off the battlefield in Iraq and in Syria. We're killing a lot of them, and we're going to keep killing more of them. So are the Egyptians, so are the Jordanians. They're in this fight with us. But we cannot win this war by killing them. We cannot kill our way out of this war.
But if we can help countries work at the root causes of this, what makes these 17-year-old kids pick up an AK-47 instead of try to start a business? Maybe we can try and chip away at this problem.
This is the Obama administration's mentality. Chip away at them? Start a business instead of picking up an AK-47? Now look, I happen to know she's just a useless idiot whose mother got her the job with Obama, or her father got her the job with Obama. She's just another dummy who went to college or came out brainwashed, who actually thinks that there is no such thing as Sharia law, doesn't understand the radical Muslims have been at war with the rest of the world. Ever since the religion began, they were told to go to war with everybody else. You morons, you. And now that their blitzkrieg is being shown for what it is, and the incompetence and cowardice of the West is displayed for all the world to see, you have the spokesgirl at the State Department, Marie Harf, saying we cannot kill our way out of this war. Well, they can certainly kill their way into this war. And she wants to pick up at the root causes of what makes 17-year-olds pick up an AK-47 instead of starting a business. Can you imagine a radical Islamic killer starting a business? Let me give you a little lesson, all of you moronic left-wing fools who don't know the world you live in. Let me explain to you what the world will be like when radical Islam takes over, because it's happened in certain countries. Let's start with the women. Women are not permitted to hold a job. Women are not permitted to go to school beyond the seventh grade where they can learn to read the Quran. Women cannot drive. Christians are beheaded. Members of religious minorities are burned alive. Imagine a world without radio, without television, without an internet, without movies, without newspapers, without books, except only one book. Shall I go on with my list? Would you like to hear about life under this idealized religion? How about being stoned to death for adultery? How about having your hand cut off for stealing a loaf of bread? How about killing apostates? How about second-class status for Christians or Jews if they're allowed to live at all? That is life under Sharia law, the Islamic system practiced in countries right now, such as Iran, Saudi Arabia, and even Great Britain. Yes, Great Britain, you may not know it, but the cowardly Brits have permitted 85 Sharia courts to operate in their own country. Did you hear this? Did you know that in these wonderful humanitarian courts run by Muslims, a woman's witness value is half that of a man? Did you know any of this? Did you know that women's rights are quite diminished under Sharia law? Did you actually think otherwise? Do you believe that Obama's telling you the truth? Let me tell you again. Imagine a world where women are not permitted to drive or hold a job, where they're not permitted to go to school beyond the seventh grade, where homosexuals are stoned to death or thrown off roofs, where Christians and Jews are either beheaded, burned alive, or forced to live in a second-class life, and yet the State Department says we can't win by killing them. We need to get them jobs. That's what they have to say to us. Now, you could say that the Obama administration is naive, they're academics. You're wrong. They're neither academics nor naive. I believe that there's a war against common sense in the United States of America and the West itself by liberal politicians who are either themselves idiotic, brainwashed, or in some way working for Sharia law in their own country. You heard me. You say, how could that happen here? It's impossible. We're a Christian nation. We're a pluralistic nation. We believe in freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of speech. Do you? Well, it's nice that you do, but they don't. Take a look at what women's rights are in Saudi Arabia, if you want to call them rights. Take a look at people who are stoned to death. Take a look at people whose hands are cut off. Take a look at people who are killed because they're apostates. This is life in your country where the lights go out forever. It would not be 1,000 years of darkness if we do not kill these barbarians in ISIS and their fellow travelers. It would not be 1,000 years of darkness. It would be darkness in the world forever, which is why we all must fight this evil scourge.
Savage.